my normal cheery self as Cash is used to.
Well, you're 3,000 miles away, so I'm not going to catch anything.
That's right. That's right.
Who's 3,000 miles away?
Steve.
Ah.
You're in New Jersey, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, we managed to hook up Skype and cell phone at the same time.
And we're talking with New Jersey, Nevada, and California all at the same time. Isn't technology wonderful?
Yes.
Beautiful thing.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff.
Look at them, madam. Have you ever in your entire life seen anything so beautiful?
I'm sorry, I don't know anything about stamps.
Live from eBay Central, this is the award-winning Stamp Show Here Today, episode number 212. Brought to you by the Southern Nevada Philatelic Research Center.
This is Tom.
This is Scott.
This is Cash.
This is Mike.
And this is Dawn. Today we are discussing how to sell a found lot of stamps on eBay and their new item specifics. And to tell us about it, we have Stephen Halupka, who is the manager for stamps at eBay. So, Steve, can we call you Steve? Okay. We heard that there's some changes and that they also relate to being able to list things for 30 days on eBay. What's happening?
Hey, everybody. Yeah, glad to be on the show. So, so a lot of things happening recently with some of the changes to move from 30-day listings to now good till canceled. Yeah, we especially for categories that have some great long tail inventory, like in stamps, like in some of our other collectibles categories, where folks are, you know, really digging in and looking for maybe one or two items. That's really a decision that we made to make sure that those items are not rolling. We get some of the SEO goodness there as well when folks are searching. So there's a combination of factors that went into that decision to move to, you know, good till cancel versus the 30-day rolling listings.
Explain a little bit of what SEO is. We know it, but not everybody does.
Sure. Yeah. So SEO in terms of search engines and really how your items rank in Google. So basically, when you Google something or search for something online, depending on the history of that item, as well as the content within that individual page, is how Google will stack rank everything in order. So because of that, when things are being rolled every 30 days, the ranking within Google typically would reset. So with that item being live for a good till canceled item, that item would then not reset in Google filters, so your item will show up higher because that history and listing history will be there going forward.
So this is a continuation from last week. If we are dealing again with the collection that we pulled out to put on eBay, what you're saying is that if we put it up for 30 days, after 30 days, it's kind of gone. But if you do it as good till canceled, it will stay up. It'll hit Google. People will be able to find it more. Some person off in Missouri will type in something like, I really would like a collection, and boom, it's inside of Google all of a sudden, whereas normally that would not occur. Is that correct?
Yeah, so there's definitely a better chance of that, where your item would stick around for a lot longer and be able to be picked up, especially if you have the keyword that somebody's looking for in the content and description of your listing. So it really will be able to hone in on exactly what that potential buyer is looking for, and then with that, your listing should be able to pop up higher in a Google search because of that.
So from a buyer's point of view then, you're still going to get charged the listing fee every 30 days, whether it was previously a 30-day roller that just restarts, or whether it's a good till canceled, you still get charged the listing fee every 30 days. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah. And so the 30-day listing, yeah, exactly. So you'll still be charged a listing fee depending if you have a store or not. So with a certain number of eBay, a certain store you do have a certain number of free listings per month. So I would recommend, I mean, even if you just have a starter store, if you're just starting off on eBay, it's a really cost-effective way to get listings up. I believe it's the first 100 listings you have are free, so you won't be charged for those listing fees every 30 days. Just a small monthly charge for that individual store, and that actually helps out with your you know, search engine as well, because they can actually search for your store, not just the individual item. It's a really good way for folks to not only look for maybe one of the items that you're selling, but also then browse and check out some of the other items you do have for sale as well.
Yeah, I personally have, whatever the, I forget what it is, 10,000 items per month listed, even though I only put up about 4,500. For people who are getting started, because literally Mike here, he is here because he is starting now with putting stuff on eBay in a major way. So if you were to give Mike some advice on the stores and how to list stuff, I also want to get into the really nuts and bolts of like item specifics later on. But let's start off with just the nuts and bolts. Start off, what buttons do you click?
Sure. So the first thing you need to do when you're logging into eBay and joining for the first time is to make sure you have a username and password. So you'll actually be able to utilize that to log in going forward. And then when you're actually setting up a seller account, so not just being a buyer, you'll have to link your payment source. So for the vast majority of our sellers, that's through PayPal. So you'd have to have a PayPal account. And within your account settings, there's a way to link to your PayPal in order to get started selling. So those are kind of the two first steps, is to generate your eBay user ID, and you'll create your own password with that, and then make sure you're set up to sell, linking your PayPal back. In terms of actually listing items, so there's can potentially be a lot to go into listing items, or you could be very simple in how you list items. Typically what we see, you definitely want to have at least two photographs of that individual item, if not more, if at all possible. Especially for any items that aren't in mint condition. If there are, you know, creases or small tears or things of that nature, you may want to have a zoomed-in image of that particular crease or tear, and also have that in your actual item description. Not necessarily your item title, but the description of the item when you're trying to list. In terms of item titles, which can be a very big determining factor of, you know, where your item is placed and exactly who's searching for what and how you're able to find your inventory, you want to make sure that the item title, if at all possible, is between 55 and 75 characters. We give you up to 90, but the general recommendation is to keep within a 55 to 75 number there, and also try to avoid using special characters like a bunch of exclamation points or at symbols, things like that. Just because our search algorithm frowns upon those type of special symbol. I know, Kaz, you wanted to talk about the item specifics, which can be very, very important as well, and impact where your items are showing up in search. So filling out your item specifics, try to be as complete as possible. If you have a certificate from the PF, PSE, PSAG, make sure you use that item specific for certification. If there's a specific denomination on the stamp, you want to utilize that. So really trying to be as complete as possible when you're filling out those listings. Once you do that, that sets you up best for success, because that's where folks will be able to find your items better. And then when they utilize the left-hand navigation in search, they'll be able to refine down, and your listings will actually show up as they refine with those specific category item specifics for that category.
Yeah, now I've been on eBay, gosh, I don't know. I started within the first 6 months of eBay. So what, like 26 years or something like that? I never did the searching the way that it's set up now. I don't know when this came in. But people who are listening, the searching of items now is so incredibly easy if the sellers put in these item specifics. And I'm looking at the item specific page right now, and it has certification, topic, grade, color, denomination, year of issue, cancellation type, quantity, state, California Prop 85 warning, whatever that is, But the one that I was really interested in was topic. And there are, I'm going to say 75 little topics here. Includes trees and turtles and world wildlife and fish and stuff. I never knew this was here, and this is so helpful.
Yeah, it's something we tried to do, and I think that's a really good point about, you know, the folks that have been with eBay for so long, that it's kind of ingrained to just, you know, let's put my title up, put my pictures up, put my really good description up, and those descriptions are extremely detail-oriented. But like you said, Kaz, you know, we have started to evolve in how we search for items. And the other day, you know, you brought up how the coins pages look and the feel of those pages. You know, kind of my goal as a category manager is to kind of have that look and feel of some of the coins pages, get folks to start adopting all those item specifics as a seller. And with that, you'll be able to find, and pages will start to populate with PSE graded stamps or PSE certified stamps. By grade potentially as well, so that it's something that really can be accomplished as more and more sellers start to adopt those item specifics, and you'll see as well there will be an uplift in the number of items that you are selling once you start adopting those.
Yeah, it will. I've said many times to our listeners that I collect U.S. number 11s, and if I do a search for number 11, I get U.S. number 11s, which is the 3-cent Washington stamp. I get number 111. I get number 1,111. I get everything that costs $11. And I have everything that has 11 quantity. 11 covers everything. It probably only half the search is relevant to me. Whereas in this one, I could put search number 11, 3-cent denomination, and all of a sudden, all I'm getting is the stuff I'm looking for. I thought this was just fantastic when I saw it. And like I said, the first time I saw it was like, what, 3 weeks ago when we spoke? And I've been on forever.
I think it's really something that we're trying to make it easier for buyers and sellers both to find what they're looking for. So that's a really good point, Kaz. I mean, it's like I said, it's learning a new behavior for folks that have been on platform for a while. But, you know, once you start it and once you try doing it, you'll really kind of never go back. So it's really something that we're digging into on the category management side to try to have our sellers adopt as much as possible, because it's going to make it easier for buyers to look to find what you're selling.
Let me ask you a question. Where are the item specifics if you're selling it? Where on the page do they occur?
They're actually right below where you attach the photos on eBay's actual listing.
Yep, exactly. So if you're on that selling page, Scott, you're 100% right there. So if you're in on a laptop computer or a desktop computer, the item specifics are exactly where Scott was saying you upload where you have the upload image. You'll have up to 12 images for free, and then underneath that, we'll have the entire list of item specifics you can choose. Now, like I said, you can be as complete as possible as recommended. But you obviously don't have to utilize all of them if they're not applicable to your specific item that you have up. So it's pretty simple. And it's basically just drop-down boxes to select what you're looking for. And it's pretty really efficient way to get those up and get those live.
So, Mike, what are you going to be selling on eBay?
A lot of stuff.
Well, we've got the guy on the phone right now. So what do you want to ask him for? Because like I said, you know, as a beginner, you're probably
we're really not up to date
as you can be.
I don't think Mike's a beginner. He's got a pretty big store.
No, I know that. I'm making pretend, but, you know, he's been, how many decades have you been selling for?
Quite a while.
we
have 100% eBay rating. We try to make the description short and sweet, but absolutely 100% correct. There's no fudging. There's no room for letting somebody try to interpret something that's not there. The description is researched because we sell other stuff besides stamps that are also philatelic related. And so a lot of research goes in to the product. And we're very happy working with eBay, I must tell you. Very happy.
Yes, but are you You may have known. I did not. Did you? Were you aware that these item specifics were existing there?
Yes.
Ah, you bastard.
Well, that's because you use 6-bit software, which is a third-party software, and you never see it, and they probably haven't updated their software.
Well, no, actually, I'm looking at it right now. There's 3 tabs. The eBay category, which, of course, you have to put a category. The store category, which I really don't use store categories. And then the third one is item specifics, and I've never clicked on it. It's right here. It's ready for me to use, and I love 6-bit. But I just have never used it before. So
I have to tell you, eBay has been a wonderful vehicle for getting people that are shut in, can't attend shows, have become old and impossible for them to travel anymore. And it is a great vehicle for the hobby, because there are so many people that I know that are incapacitated and love the fact that they can buy from their home.
Yeah.
So, kudos.
So, Steve, there is one thing that I was wanted to speak about because I don't understand it. The beginning of this month, just a couple days ago, you can't list for 30 days now, and it has something to do with item specifics.
You can't list for 30 days now. So.
There's no 30-day listing unless you fill out the item specifics. Is that what's going on or something?
So it's interesting that you brought that up, because there's always, you know, tests and things like that going on at eBay. For certain items in certain categories, stamps potentially being one of them in the near future, we will be soft mandating some items. Some specifics, so basically meaning you don't have to have these item specifics in, but it's really recommended that you add these item specifics into your listings going forward. So that nothing will be, you know, hard-coded into our system that's saying you can't list this item, but it will be highly recommended you start to add these item specifics in when you're listing inventory going forward. Any inventory that's currently live, you don't have to go back and revise it. You can definitely keep it the way it is. But in terms of that 30-day rolling, yes, items will still be considered now good till canceled when you're listing new items. That has been the change that's been made there versus the 30-day rolling.
Got it. Yeah, I just sort of like the 30-day rolling because, again, I use 6-bit. And it's easier for me every 30 days to change my pricing than it is to let it roll and then go in there for individual items. So from my standpoint, all I was looking at was for people who use 6-bit is if, you know, every 3 months I want to reprice everything, I just close all my auctions. And on 6-bit, you just hit a button and it does that for you. And then reprice everything and put it all back up again. So I'm probably going to be, you know, good till canceled, but on that last month, I'll only let it run 29 days instead of 30 and then just reprice afterwards. Is that a smart thing to do, or is that something that there's a better way that you know to do it?
So you always want to keep checking on the pricing of your listings, right? I mean, you can even search for some of the items, and you know, as the owner of that inventory, which items are stale, which items have been up, you know, for 12 months, and you've only have, you know, a half dozen views on that item. So something's telling you that, hey, you know, maybe I should update this. Maybe it needs a new image. Maybe it needs a price change. So it really comes down and have that intuition as a seller. I mean, obviously, we're all here to sell inventory. We're not a museum. So it really comes down to, you know, what exactly you want to move and what for what price. So if you do have any of those stale listings, it's definitely a good idea to take a look at them, whether it be, you know, every 90 days or whatever the case may be. So, I mean, I know sellers that put stuff up for 8 to 10 months at a time, and it's just sitting there and essentially collecting dust versus really taking a look at the listing, either adjusting the price or examining it, what's in the marketplace with that, just doing a simple search on eBay and say, okay, well, I have this exact item, and you know what? I'm overpriced by $50. No wonder no one's buying my item.
Yeah, but sometimes that's hard when you have a thousand items listed to do that for every single item. Even if you know, 25% of your inventory is like that, that's still a whole lot of work. And to actually do a search for every single item can be more time consuming than it's worth.
Oh, that's a lot more work than I want to put in.
Can I say something?
Yeah, I mean, I think the goal is to really take a look at the listing that you want to move quickly, or some of your premier items that you're looking to sell either for a higher price point, or whatever the case may be. So I completely understand. You got 2,000 items up there to literally search every single one. You need about 45 hours in the day to do it.
Yeah.
So I would say, take a few of your listings that you know you want to try to move, or you know are some of your premier items that they have searched or things like that you know you're going to get good price realization on. And maybe those are the kind of listings you hone in on after a certain number of days. So I think that could be a strategy you utilize going forward, easy for me to say, with your store and your store items.
We have found an unusual situation is that price sometimes is not the most important thing. The quality of the item, the people who know you will pay more. And we have had that over the years in that we're picking up new clients all the time, and they're paying a little bit more, not because we're dumb and we want to charge more, but sometimes the item changes in price. Sometimes the quality is not the same as somebody else's, but we're still getting business from those clients and in quantities. I mean, we go down the list and there are guys who are buying 8, 10, 15 items at a shot, and price is secondary.
Yeah, I've seen that also.
Well, I agree, because sometimes when I shop, I'm generally looking at the condition.
Right.
Whether, you know, if I'm buying a card, I'm looking at the corners. Is it crisp? Is it clean? Is it dirty? If it's a stamp, is it well-centered? Even hinging or cancellations can be somewhat secondary to the soundness of the item.
So there's a lot of different factors that go into making a successful eBay venture. And that the more outspoken you are in terms of telling the customer what it is you have and not hiding any of the defects, that's just very important.
Oh, yeah.
Don't hide any defects. Point them right out on top. And the item will sell if it's reasonably priced.
I had a stamp from Ceylon. It was doggy. I mean, it was really bad. It was one of the large aniline ink ones. It had no gum. It was terrible. And it cataloged $240. And I put it up for auction, started it at $1. And it sold for $10.25. And the person got it. And he said, there's a tear up in the corner. And I go, there's faults. If you're only pointing out that tear, I mean, you know, what are you looking at? What about the tear next to it? Funny. Stuff like that happens.
Definitely.
Yeah, and I would just say to those buyers, I mean, there's going to be one in every 100 that's really going to be a stickler about something. But you did make a good point previously that any faults or anything of that nature that are in your particular item, make sure you tell it in the item description or in the title if you have room. Just something that obviously you want to be as honest as possible with the buyers out there.
This item is faulty. It is non-returnable for specific faults.
Go ahead and return it. I have, like, me and a couple other people, you know, we have enough lots up where I have literally gotten returns where people said, you know, when I bought this stamp, I could afford it. Now I can't. Can I return it? And I go, sure, fine, whatever. You know, I eat the eBay or pay the PayPal fee, but eBay refunds the commission on it. So it's like, fine, whatever.
My favorite one is the no gum is issued stamps that get returned because they have hinge marks on the back.
Oh, I had one of those. I sold a park set, a no gum park set, and the person said the 8-cent stamp is hinged. And he returned it to me. So I just soaked the hinge mark off and sent it back to him and said, you know, in the future, you can soak these yourself.
One of the universal problems on eBay is that a number of sellers charge exorbitant fees for shipping. The fees are $4, $6, $7. I all over the place. You know, the current rate is 55 cents an ounce. I'm sure there's no stamp that I know of that comes close to that weight. And I don't know how they can justify selling at those with that kind of.
Have you seen that very often, Steve?
Sorry, say that one more time about the shipping fees.
Yeah, they charge exorbitant, like punitive shipping fees.
Yeah, so it's fascinating. I think certain people don't bake either a, you know, insurance fee or things like that if it's a high dollar value item into the actual price of the item that's listed there. They put it on the back end with shipping. So there's a couple ways you can do it. I would say most of the time, what I've found that works is, you know, you bake it into the item price if you're looking to either put insurance or signature confirmation into the price of the actual item. If you're not looking to do something like that and it's just, you know, a $20 stamp that you're going to ship with tracking, yeah, I think people will end up paying, you know, the $3.60 or whatever the case may be to add tracking onto an item. I think some sellers will just gouge the shipping price, adding in all those factors instead of just adjusting their item price.
Well, funny thing is, my son, Sean, he wants one of the original Axis and Allies games. And if you know what that is, if you don't know what it is, it's just a big game. And the one that he found was $25, which was right in the ballpark of where it should be. And the shipping on it was $32. And we're going, how the heck are you shipping this thing? So,
yeah. Personal courier.
Shipping via Brinks.
Yeah, something.
Personal courier.
Well, I know in the olden days, like when they were doing Beanie Babies, you'd have a $1,000 Beanie Baby. And those guys were shysters. But anyway, they would like sell a $1,000 Beanie Baby for $100 and then charge $900 for shipping. Because eBay would charge commission on the $100, but they wouldn't charge commission on the $900 shipping. Well, now they don't do that anymore.
That's changed. That's changed.
Yeah, that one went away really, really quick. So what are the hot topics or the hot categories right now?
Sure. In stamps, we've actually seen, besides a lot of the U.S., which is, I mean, always really, really popular, I would say some other categories. Chinese stamps are really, really popular with us. We really get to see some great price realization there. Cause I think they're fairly scarce in the marketplace. So when someone either has a nice collection or some rarities, they really go for some great pricing. A lot of the British colony stuff as well. We really see some goodness from those. Again, you know, some of the more rare stuff that's in that category. So those are kind of the two, I would say, secondary categories besides U.S. And really what's, I don't want to say surprising, but pretty interesting is that, you know, covers are actually one of our larger categories under U.S. So I think a lot of people enjoy the history behind covers and really get to, if they're either, you know, collecting part of a certain time period or things of that nature, they can really kind of hone in on part of the history of that time through covers. So I know a lot of people are, and the proof is in the numbers, a lot of people are really honing in on that category under stamps as well.
Oh, I have to agree with the covers. I think the last probably 10 items that I bought off eBay have all been covers. But I'm all about the history. I love the history.
Yeah, I mean, it's really a great way to connect something. So I would say, yeah, that's I think what a lot of people are doing now. They're collecting either a time period or just really interested in a certain piece of history that's associated with that cover. So I completely understand where you're coming from on that one, Cash.
Thank you, Steve, for joining us. And thank you for listening. This has been Stamp Show Here Today, episode number 212.
This was Tom.
And Scott.
And Cash.
Mike. And Don.
You You have been listening to Stamp Show Here Today, seeking to advance all levels of the stamp collecting hobby through news, information, and collecting advice. Visit us at stampshowheretoday.com to listen to the show, view images of the items we are talking about, and read the show notes. You can also continue the conversation on Facebook at Stamp Show Here Today and on Twitter at Stamp Show HT. If you have questions or comments about the show or have any topics you would like us to discuss, you can email us at stampshowheretoday@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and as always, keep collecting.
You have 2 new voice messages and 1 saved message. New message.
You have been listening to award-winning Stamp Show Here Today, brought to you by the Southern Nevada Philatelic Research Center. Produced and edited by Cash Braces, with engineering and recording by Tom Schilling. Script and research by Scott Murphy and Mark Leon. And I'm your host, Don Goss. Please subscribe to us on iTunes or Podbean, and follow us on Facebook. Visit us at stampshowheretoday.com, and thank you for listening.
To replay this message, press 1. To delete, press 7. To save, press 9. From message saved, there are no more messages.
Stamp Show Here Today.
Stamp Show Here Today.
Stamp collecting happens when we dream together.